It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4 to 1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Sandy Rios in the morning here on American Family Radio. My name is Walker Wildman, and I'm sitting in for Sandy this morning. A lot of news to talk about, but before we get to that, I want to mention a few things. First, a campaign that we have going here on American Family Radio is the Truth for Youth Bible campaign that you've been hearing about this week on AFR, the Truth for Youth Bible campaign with Pastor Tim Todd, and we'll have him on later in the show. But what we do here once a year, we've been doing this for going on 20 years, is American Family Radio partners with Tim Todd and Revival Fires International in giving away free Bibles to students all across the country. Students K through 12 all across the country would give away Bibles with the promise that they will take them and give them out to a lost friend at school, or they can even keep them and use them for themselves, the Bible, that is, if they don't have one. But we do this once a year. We've given away, in partnership with Revival Fires International, we've given away over 1 million Bibles the past 20 years. Our goal this year is 60,000, so help us meet that goal, and I'll give out the number here in a little while. But Revival Fires International and American Family Radio are partnering to give away Bibles to students all across the country. And so that's what we're doing this week, and we would love for you to join us. And so I'll give out the number here in a few minutes for that. Also the website to do that. Another thing I wanted to mention before we start the show, once again, my name is Walker Wildman, and I'm sitting in for Sandy Rios this morning, hosting Sandy Rios, or guest hosting Sandy Rios in the morning here on American Family Radio. Go to our website, AFR.net. You can find the Sandy Rios in the Morning podcast at AFR.net. You can also listen live there at AFR.net. Here's the phone number to get your free Bible. So if you have a student in your household that would like a free Bible that this includes the New Testament, and they want to take it to school, give it away to their friends, even if for some reason they're not starting school for a few weeks or a few months, they can still order a Bible and give it to their friends in their neighborhood or wherever they want to give it away. But the goal here is to get as many Bibles in the hands of young people as we can. Here's the website, revivalfires.org. That's revivalfires.org. And there you'll have a link to order your free Bible. Here's the phone number you can also call to order your Bible. One per student, we're asking. 800-733-4737. That's the phone number here, 800-733-4737. Call that number to get your free Bible for a student in your household. It's a great opportunity for our young people to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Speaking of sharing the gospel, you know, it's always good to remind our listeners, and really to remind ourselves, and I know Sandy talks about this often, to really remind ourselves to step back and remember why we do what we do. Not just here at American Family Radio, American Family Association, but why Christians do what they do each day, each week, each month. What are we driven by? And we have to remember that the overall goal of our time here on earth is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and to share the truth of God's word. And that applies to every aspect of life. So whether it be government, whether it be, you know, what's going on in our church, what's going on in our local level, what's going on in our family. We have to be focused on being obedient to God's word, no matter what our profession is, what our what we do each day in our lives, and what our family makeup looks like. We always have to be focused on obedience to God's word and making sure that we're being a good witness for Him. And so that's what we're doing here on American Family Radio, is we're sharing truth, the truth of God's word, and we're trying to honestly open the eyes of the lost here all across America. So continue to fight with us. And once again, you can go to our website, afr.net. Jumping into a lot of some of the content we're going to talk about today, the first thing I want to talk about here on the show is these emergency powers that various governors and mayors have been exercising over the past several months. And I know that time seems to move fast, at least in America, because there's just so much going on. Everything's fast-paced. But we're going on 7 months. August is 7 months of emergency powers being exercised by mayors and governors all across the country. And this is, I think a lot of people don't understand how concerning this is, just because there's so much going on. Everything's so chaotic. But these elected officials, and some of them aren't even elected, they're appointed, but these officials across government should not be continually exercising emergency powers for months on end. Emergency powers are clearly intended for short-term use. What do I mean by that? They're intended for hurricanes. They're intended for wartime. They're intended for natural disasters like hurricanes, tornadoes, flooding, civil unrest that lasts maybe days, maybe weeks sometimes. But what we're experiencing here is we're experiencing what some people call a public health emergency. That's debatable on whether we're really in an emergency when it comes to health-wise. I think we can clearly say we're in an economic emergency because of the economic trouble that we're having, because we've closed businesses on our own volition. But my whole point in bringing this up is to talk about how America, the citizenry, the voters, we have to take back power. And the lawmakers that you and I have elected at the state level and at the federal level, those lawmakers have to take back power. Because right now we have mayors and governors running the country. They are shaping our economic policy. They are shaping our health policy. They are shaping what we wear on our body, talking about face mask. They're shaping when we get to leave our house, when we don't get to leave our house, whether we get to go to work or whether we don't get to go to work, whether we get to go to school or whether we don't get to go to school. They're even regulating whether we get to go to church or not. This is not legislative stuff. This is not where you have a group of hundreds of lawmakers coming together and saying, this is what we want to do, and we're the elected representatives of the people. No, you have one person in the state capitol saying, this is what we're all going to do. No questions asked. And so what I'm saying across the country is lawmakers and voters have to get power back out of the hands of governors and mayors across the country. And speaking of government overreach, I want to talk about this story out of Los Angeles, and then we'll bounce up to Michigan. But first, in Los Angeles, you have the mayor now in Los Angeles, California. You have the mayor threatening to cut off the utilities the power and the water for those who resist his tyrannical orders. And this does not exclude churches. And so churches who want to meet and disobey the king of Los Angeles, then they may have their utilities, their power, and their water cut off. This is insanity that a mayor thinks he can cut off the utilities of people because they have 11 people in their household and the mayor says you can only have 10. Or a church says we're going to worship God on Sunday morning or on Wednesday morning or whenever, and the mayor thinks he can cut off the utilities. So this is the type of overreach I'm talking about here. The other story I wanted to mention is the governor of Michigan. Whitmer is her last name. She's been in the news for the past 6 months on her tyrannical edicts coming out of the state capitol there in Michigan. But Governor Whitmer now has declared racism a public health issue. You heard that right. Governor Whitmer has declared racism a public health issue in Michigan. And you know what that means? That means Governor Whitmer has just opened the door for her to pass all kinds of executive orders regarding the issue of what she calls systemic racism. And I know I can do a 10-minute rabbit trail on how that's a false narrative, how there is no systemic racism in America's institutions, in our government. But nonetheless, you get the point. So Governor Whitmer has bounced off of the whole coronavirus public health emergency, and now we have a public health crisis called racism. So we'll see what other edicts come out of the governor's mansion in Michigan. Two very, very concerning stories there coming out of Michigan. Transitioning to a few other topics, Governor Cuomo has, number one, he's mishandled this coronavirus situation from day one, and after the break we'll play a clip about him just completely denying or not even talking about his own failures and instead projecting his failures on President Trump. But New York has a big problem, and not just a coronavirus problem that they had in the early days back in March and April. And speaking of that, New York is one of the hardest hit states. And I'm not saying that one man or one group of people can somehow stop the coronavirus. That's ridiculous. We know that can't happen. And so it is unfair to lay blame on one individual for the stopping or the slowing down or even the acceleration of coronavirus spread. That's not fair. But what is fair is criticizing policy decisions that are horrible decisions, such as sending positive COVID patients or COVID positive patients into nursing homes while they're still positive. That's what Governor Cuomo was doing in New York. This has gotten little to no attention. Yes, conservative media outlets, we've covered it. But in the mainstream media, this has gotten little to no attention. That Governor Cuomo was forcing nursing home facilities to accept COVID-positive patients. That is like a death sentence to elderly people in those nursing homes who did not have COVID. If you go down a list of the worst possible things you can do in a position of influence, that's like the number one offense. Sending positive coronavirus patients into nursing homes when you already have vulnerable people in there. That should be criminal.
The heartbeat of life translates into every language. When an expectant mom in crisis hears her baby's heartbeat on ultrasound and sees her baby in the womb, she's 80% more likely to choose life for her baby.
When I heard her heartbeat, I decided to keep her. And now my daughter's about to be 3. I don't know where my life would be without her.
The Ministry of Preborn is the largest provider of free heartbeats for moms in crisis in the USA. And they're the direct competition to Planned Parenthood. When a mother chooses life, preborn centers are there to help with the baby's needs, counseling, and so much more. And those services are provided free of charge. To find out more, go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Or dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 and say the keyword baby.
It's Truth for Youth Week. And whether students are in school, online, or somewhere in between, everybody needs Jesus. Let's get the Word of God to as many students as possible.
First time I heard about the Truth to Youth Bible was on American Family Radio. I promised myself that I was going to give it to someone who wasn't following Jesus.
The Truth for Youth Bible appeals to students with the entire New Testament and full-color comics which present the gospel and moral truths.
I just want to thank you so much because after reading it, I decided to give my heart to the Lord.
Revival Fires International will give one Truth for Youth Bible to every student between the ages of 13 and 18 who promises to pass it along to a friend this school year. Visit truthforyouth.com. That's truthforyouth.com.
The Truth for Youth Bible inspired me and led me to Christ.
That's truthforyouth.com. Help spread God's Word with the Truth for Youth Bible and AFR.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Wondering how you'll finish your degree now? At Liberty University, we want to help. So when you transfer into one of our more than 100 undergraduate online programs this fall, you could earn up to $3,600 in transfer student scholarships, or more if you live in Virginia. That means you could pay less than $900 per course and transfer in up to 75% of your degree. That's up to 90 credits. Save time and money at a school that's been helping students like you for over 30 years. Learn more by texting DEGREE to 49595. That's DEGREE to 49595.
One of the nation's most respected preachers could be going to jail. The city of Los Angeles threatening to arrest John MacArthur, pastor of Grace Community Church. City leaders also threatened to fine the congregation $1,000 a day. The church recently held an indoor Sunday service in violation of the law. They also sang songs, another big no-no. Pastor MacArthur says the government has no business telling churches how to run their affairs. We need more preachers like John MacArthur. Silence in the face of evil is evil itself, and there's been a whole lot of silence from America's pulpits. We need pastors who are willing to take a stand no matter the cost. Paul and Silas did that, jailed for holding church services in Philippi. Once they got to prison, they sang songs. One of Governor Newsom's ancestors probably ran the local government. Be sure to listen to my national radio show live, noon to 3 Eastern, or download my podcast at toddstearns.com.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to Sandy Rios in the morning there. Got a little, let time get past me there, and I just was talking and a-talking and a-talking, and there came the break. Sorry about that, folks. Sandy Rios in the morning is a show I'm guest hosting. My name is Walker Wildman. It's good to be with you. You can catch my show, Exposing Washington, each Saturday at 2:30 p.m. Central here on American Family Radio. My show airs 2:30 p.m. Central each Saturday here on American Family Radio. My name is Walker Wildman. Good to be with you today. Back to my rant about Governor Cuomo. So we had the situation where Governor Cuomo was forcing coronavirus patients, or rather he was forcing nursing facilities and long-term care facilities to accept COVID-positive patients, which is, for all practical purposes, and anything you read about this is, don't send COVID patients into nursing homes. That's everybody agrees on that. So not only did you have that though, but now that New York is past some of the worst part of the coronavirus in their state, Governor Cuomo is begging the wealthy people who fled New York during the peak of the coronavirus, he's begging them, Governor Cuomo is, begging them to come back. And I'll tell you what we have going on here. I think folks didn't just leave. You know, you've read the stories about people fleeing New York and fleeing California because of their Marxist policies. But you didn't just have people leave New York over the coronavirus. You had people leaving New York because of the high crime. Specifically, I'm talking about New York City. And that's what this news article is talking about. You have wealthy people, many of them who live in New York State, who live in New York City and the surrounding area. And when they saw the whole coronavirus debacle happening with how Governor Cuomo and de Blasio completely mishandled that. And then you've got the defund the police or abolish the police anarchy movement. The people who had money in New York, who have vacation houses all across the country, they left. And they haven't been back. And so Governor Cuomo and the Democrats there understand that if they don't get the rich people back to New York, that they're not going to be able to pay their bills. And so they are in total panic mode trying to convince former New Yorkers to come back to the state to foot the tax bill. And good luck doing that with the over 100% increase in crime in New York City and the failed policies of the Marxist governor, Andrew Cuomo. So Governor Cuomo there begging New Yorkers to come back to the state. One clip I want to play is, this is clip two, and Governor Cuomo's, of course, on a cable news show, and instead of embracing and admitting that he completely mishandled much of this coronavirus from day one, instead he projects his own failures onto President Trump. Clip two, let's listen.
We see the facts are facts, right? We see the virus increasing all across the country. We see the numbers going up. We see it going up in the Midwest. We see the health experts, Johns Hopkins and others, now saying the nation has to hit a reset. We do need a reset, but the reset has to start at the top. We have confusion. We have chaos. We don't have operations set up. And I think it has to start with the president of the United States. I think he has to stand up and say what he didn't say 6 months ago. He has to say to the American people that COVID is serious, that we can't deny it, that it's not political. It's not going to go away magically. It wasn't going to go away by Easter. The accelerated reopenings were wrong. The liberate the states movement was wrong. Not setting up testing was wrong. I think the American people are confused because they've heard two different messages from the get-go, Nicole, and that's where it starts. It has to start with the president. The course they went down was just incorrect. We know that now.
Well, there you have it. That's Governor Cuomo. Of course, nothing's my fault. Let's just project it onto the man in the Oval Office, the president. Because the debacle that happened in my state, of course I'm not responsible for it. That was all Trump's fault. You know, forcing COVID-positive patients into nursing home facilities, that wasn't my fault. Totally President Trump's fault. So anything and everything we can blame on the president, let's do it. That's the strategy of the Democrats. That's the strategy of the Democrats. But what you have here is, it's really unfair, to be honest with you, no matter whether you're Democrat or Republican. This idea that, and I mentioned this a few minutes ago, but this idea that you can blame an elected official, blame a politician, blame anyone for the spread of an upper respiratory illness, an upper respiratory virus, specifically coronavirus. The fact that we're laying blame broadly on, you heard him there about the governors and the states that rushed to reopen, that was a mistake, he said. The liberate the states movement, that was a mistake. He had must have not read the 10th Amendment. But This is really, this gets back to what I talked about earlier in the show about these powers that these mayors and governors are exercising. Much of it, it's not constitutional. But we're basically, here's basically where we're at as a country. We have people in positions of power in our country, specifically in government, who don't have the humility to admit that we humans do not control everything about life. Specifically, the reality that there is no stopping an upper respiratory virus from spreading. Mankind has been around for thousands of years, since the dawn of creation, since Genesis, since Adam and Eve. And no society has been able to completely stop the spread of upper respiratory illnesses. Or really any illnesses for that matter. For the most part, yeah, you've had some breakthroughs in science, etc., etc., but that's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about the government forcing mom-and-pop shops to shut down back in March, thinking that that's gonna be best for public health. Meanwhile, the big box stores, well, they stay open, and they're packed. You know why? Because nothing else is open. So let's pack all of a city into Walmart and Target and Lowe's. That's a great idea. And so we had these elected officials shutting down mom and pop shops across America as if that's going to help. And I don't know if you've seen this, but this insanity it gets worse every day. As soon as I think people cannot get any crazier, then they get crazier. The college football, some college football teams, I'm not sure if this is mandated across the board, but specifically I was reading a news story about LSU and their football team, Louisiana State University. Their football team their equipment managers have put on these visors, these face shields within their helmet, and it's not your typical typical visor that comes down a couple inches and just protects your eyes from being poked or from debris coming in your helmet. This is a full face shield that comes all the way down below the chin. And the players were talking about how they can't breathe. One of them said this, "I feel like my head is in a Ziploc bag." But the reason I bring this up is because these are the type rules and ideas that have no basis in reality. Here we have football players who are sweating, who are spitting, who are tackling each other, playing a sport, which is fine. I like it. But then we have these doctors and these administrative officials who think that we need to put face shields on the football players' helmets because that's going to stop the spread of coronavirus. Are you kidding me? You've got body fluids and sweat going all over the place in a football game. And you think that if we basically put a Ziploc bag over the helmet, that's going to stop the spread of coronavirus. It just blows my mind that there are people that sit in rooms and make these decisions and nobody dissents. Nobody says, "You know what, guys, this is a dumb idea." No, instead they go, "Yeah, I think that's great. Let's put face shields on every helmet so our players can't breathe." But it gets to this point about how many people think that they can control every scenario and situation in life. And there's many things that you just can't control. Welcome to life. And the coronavirus is obviously one of those things that we're not going to be able to fully control. And so when you accept that, then we have to also accept, or we have to also embrace the America we once knew. The America where people use their own wisdom to make decisions about their families and their bodies, including whether you want to wear a mask or not on your own volition, whether you would like to go to church or not on your own volition, whether you would like to go to the grocery store or not, whether you would like to send your kids to school or not. That's America, where we teach people what's right, we teach people their constitutional rights, and then we tell them, make your own decision. Because after all, we all are adults. Talking about the voters, make your own decisions. But we don't need tyrants in state capitals, in governor mansions across the country, passing edict after edict as if we're all a bunch of babies. We don't need to be babysat. This is America. So let's instead shift back to our constitutional rights. Let's take back our liberties, and let's all make good decisions. And if people don't make good decisions, that's on them. But it's time we stop acting like we're China. It's time we stop acting like we're North Korea. And the American people are going to have to wake up and take their freedoms back. Because if not, folks, here's where we're going to be. We're going to be 12 months down the road, 18 months down the road, 24 months down the road. And these governors and mayors are still going to be reigning from on high if we do not take our freedoms back. We have to wake up from this. And this is not a really not a Republican-Democrat issue. I know it's been made to be that. Because your Democrat voters, they agree with the Democrat elected officials. Republicans, well, they agree with President Trump and the Republican governors. But when you talk about rights, when we talk about God-given rights, when we talk about our Constitution, the First Amendment, and the other nine amendments in the Bill of Rights, these are things that protect everyone. They protect people that I vehemently oppose. The Constitution protects us all. And it allows people to disagree on many things, but they still reserve their God-given rights. And to me, that's a winner for everybody. When we as Americans get to keep all of our rights, even if we don't like each other or we don't agree on everything, that is what America is. That's what we're known for. That's why people flee to come here. Even though the Democrats try to tell us how bad America is. People come to America because of our freedom. And so I'm just warning everyone out there, including myself, that it's not an exaggeration to say we're on the verge, and some would say we've already lost some freedoms, and I think that's a fair assessment. I'm a glass half full guy. So I think we can fight and get them back, the ones that we've kind of let slip out of our hands, but we have to fight. But we have to fight with civility, unlike the left. Unlike Antifa, we fight with civility. Sandy Rios in the morning. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Survival experts know there are certain techniques that will aid in any situation, and Christians are living in a threatening environment that's just as real as any physical danger. This week on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress begins a new series called Courageous, teaching us strategies to thrive in a culture that's hostile towards Christians. Don't miss the new series starting this week on Pathway to Victory.
Weekday mornings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Jan Markell, and next on Understanding the Times Radio, I consider how preserving our health and safety has opened the door to the totalitarian mindset. Privacies are quickly being lost, and we are allowing it if that will save us from the invisible enemy, an unseen virus. That's next on Understanding the Times Radio.
Saturday afternoon at 1 Central and Sunday afternoon at noon Central on American Family Radio.
Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, what about this man? My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute." At the climax of the account, when Jesus restored Peter's personal relationship with him and Peter's call to ministry, he saw John following them. Jesus had just predicted that Peter would give his life for the gospel when Peter said, "What about John, Lord?" Jesus responded, "What does he have to do with your calling? You follow me." With those words, Jesus hit a consistent flaw of the human condition. We derive value and self-worth by comparing ourselves to other people. Your ups, your downs, your failures, your victories were never meant to be compared to other people. We have been called to serve an audience of one. The only approval you need is His.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. Based on fake science, the medical deep state has convinced the U.S. to go into lockdown. It would be one thing if lockdowns worked to stop COVID-19, but they don't. Don't let people tell you they're effective because they're not. According to the American Enterprise Institute, there's zero evidence that lockdowns work. America has had a longer and stricter lockdown than any country in the world except England. If incarceration in place worked, we'd know it by now. Switzerland opened up far sooner than the U.S. and has seen cases flatline. Sweden never ever locked down and has basically conquered the virus. Wisconsin has had no mask mandate since May and has a death rate one-third the national average. Bottom line, lockdowns don't work, full stop, and it's time for America to reopen.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. 75 years ago today, the United States used a new weapon to end a global conflagration that had killed tens of millions of people. With the detonation of atomic bombs first over Hiroshima and then Nagasaki, America finally broke the will of the Japanese government, precipitating its prompt surrender. Ever since, critics have condemned these actions, yet they spared Allied military forces and Japan's population a far more costly invasion of the home islands. In addition, these demonstrations of such weapons' devastating power have helped deter another world war for over seven decades. Today, though, the adequacy of our deterrent is in serious question due to a lack of maintenance and modernization commensurate with the growing threats we face from Russia and China. This solemn anniversary should remind us of the urgent need to attend to the dangers of such a shortfall. This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to Sandy Rios in the Morning. My name is Walker Wildman, and I'm guest hosting for Sandy Rios this morning. AFR.net is our website. AFR.net is the website. Go there, check it out. I'm going to give out the number real quick for you to call in and field your questions here on American Family Radio. We'll talk about a couple topics. We'll talk about the various edicts across the country from governors and mayors. We'll talk about Governor Cuomo's projecting blame on President Trump for his own failures, and talk about our Constitution and our liberties and how we need to preserve them, how it's good for everyone if we protect our Constitution and our liberties, our God-given liberties. We'll talk about those three topics here on American Family Radio. Here's the number to call in, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840 is the number to call in, and we'll field your questions here in a few minutes. Before that, I want to welcome our good friend Tim Todd of Revival Fires International. He's partnering with American Family Radio. Tim Todd is in his ministry to provide these Bibles to students all across the country. Tim, welcome to Sandy Rios this morning.
Good to be with you, Walker. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Glad to have you on. I just want to jump right into this. Many of our listeners, they're pretty familiar with what's going on. We're giving out Bibles to students all across the country in an attempt to make sure God's Word penetrates the school building. But give our listeners a little backgrounder about Revival Fires International and Truth for Youth, and then give us maybe just one testimony that really stood out to you when it comes to Truth for Youth Bible campaign.
Yes, Walker, the Revival Fires is a ministry that was put together for us to take the whole gospel to the whole world before Jesus comes, and we're excited about what God is doing. And one outreach that we have, I've been on the evangelistic field now for a little over 33 years and just bringing in a harvest of souls and getting the Word of God out. And one area that we get the Word of God out, there's many, but one area that we get the Bible out is into the hands of young people across America. The Truth for Youth Bible consists of the entire New Testament, along with comic stories in the front section, 100 pages that deal with the truth about issues of moral concern that young people are confronted with every day. And this, Walker, is this is 2020 is the 20th year that we have conducted the Truth for Youth Bible Project on American Family Radio. And we've given away now over 1 million Bibles through this project and have received decision cards from more than 25,000 young people as a result of getting a copy of the Word of God. And right now, with the racial unrest and all of the things that are happening in America, I believe this is the most important year that we can get the Word of God into our public schools.
Amen. That's exactly right. You know, and that reminds me of what I heard actually the CDC director say the other day when he was testifying before Congress. But he was talking about how the suicide rates among young people and the overdoses among young people, the overdose deaths actually, have been skyrocketing, and they're actually, when you add them together, it's more than the coronavirus-related deaths. And so you're right, Tim, to talk a little bit about some of the struggles that our young people have.
Oh, absolutely. You know, for the past, you know, and I found out, Walker, and I've got four children that are raised now, but there's three ways to influence young people, and it's real simple: by example, and by example. Whatever they see us do, they will emulate. And for the past several weeks, the politically correct, the liberal news media, the liberal politicians have been setting an ungodly example that rebellion against authority and racial division, anarchy, violence in the streets of this great nation is not only acceptable, but embraced. And I'm convinced that this godless example of violence and anarchy has the likelihood of spilling over into our already troubled public schools among our youth. Many of them have been stuck at home because of the chaos of COVID. And that's why I believe that this year is the most important National Truth for Youth Bible Week we have ever conducted. And so we've got to shine the light of the gospel into the darkness. As our kids go back to school, there is the potential for mayhem to take place. We've seen a lot of school violence through the years. But as a result of the example that's been set for our young people over the past several weeks, there is the potential and the likelihood of horrible things happening. That's why we have to give them Jesus. That's the only solution.
Amen. Amen, Tim. Give the phone number and the website of how families can order Bibles for their young people.
Yes, Tim. In fact, the phone lines will not be opened until after 8 o'clock, so let's give the website out. It's
Truth. Yeah, that's fine.
truthforyouth.com, truthforyouth.com. And we encourage one Bible per teenager, per household, parents or grandparents of those teenagers to call if they're a young person in their home, will commit to give the Bible to a friend in school that's not saved, we will send them the Bibles, Walker, free of charge. We pay the shipping, we pay for the Bibles, and we just want to pierce the darkness in our public school systems with the gospel of Jesus Christ in this trying time that we live in America.
Amen, Tim. God bless you. God bless your ministry. We appreciate the partnership and keep up the good work.
Walker, we appreciate your family. We appreciate the vitally important ministry that you have there and the partnership. And thank you for helping us reach a generation of young people with the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Tim. God bless you.
God bless you.
Well, there you have it, folks. Truthforyouth.com is the website. The phone lines will open up in a little while, and you'll hear that on American Family Radio throughout the day. Let me give out the number to call in, and we'll take your questions on some of the topics we've talked about today. 888-589-8840 is the phone number. 888-589-8840 is the phone number for you to call in, and we'll take your questions. You know, this is Tim is right. The time to get Bibles into the hands of young people is it's always important. It should always be a top priority. But you know, when you see what's going on in our country, we have to continue to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that's what I talked about when we started the show. Is we have to stay focused. We have to stay focused. I heard a sermon the other day about how, you know, oftentimes we get sidetracked looking at all the bad, which we don't need to put our head in the sand. We don't need to ignore what's going on in our country. But we also can't let it get us sidetracked. We can't let it get us sidetracked. We have to stay focused on the gospel, on the Word of God, and being obedient to God's Word and shining His light and preaching His Word. We have to stay on task, on target. We can't let Satan get us sidetracked with what's going on all around us, all the noise around us. 888-589-8840 is the number to call. We're going to go to Kansas, and we're going to talk to Susan. Susan, welcome to Sandy Rios in the Morning. What's on your mind?
Well, hi, Walker. I loved everything you've said today, and I loved everything that Tim said. All that's the solution, I think. But I have been concerned about how restricted President Trump has been. How can he break away from this nonsense?
Yeah, so you that's a question. Well, Susan, you know, President Trump is facing many challenges, and he has been since even before he's in the Oval Office. He has virtually all the major institutions, all the global institutions against him. He has the media against him. He has the European Union against him. He has China against him. He has Russia against him. He has Mexico against him. He has the Democrats against him. And so I could keep going on for 5 minutes about everyone who's opposed to President Trump. But just like I said, he's got to stay focused. He's got to stay focused. And really, the American people have to wake up. I'm talking in large part, the American people have to wake up. Because there's going to be a day where there is no President Trump. And it could be in January of 2021, or it could be in 4.5 years, in 2024. But there's going to be a day when there's no President Trump. And so, yes, President Trump is a key part right now to fighting back against some of this Marxism that's going on in our country. But the American electorate, the American voters across the country have to rise up and take our liberties back. So that when in the future, in 5, 10, 20 years, we still have a country to raise our children in. And so this is an all-in effort, including President Trump, but this is an all-in effort to make sure we save our country. Thank you, Susan, for calling in. I'm going to go to Martha in Louisiana. Martha, welcome to Sandy Rios in the Morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Hey, doing well, Martha.
I just have a statement to make. I'm a senior citizen, and I ordered a mask about a month ago, and I got it in yesterday, and I opened it up, and in the actual box, in the mask, was two necklaces, And they were made like a dog tag, like an army dog tag. And they have on them, "I can't breathe," with a big fist in my mask as a free gift from China, because the mask was made in China. Now, to me, that means China is some way tied up with the BLM movement.
Yeah, that's interesting, Martha. Yeah, thank you for calling in, Martha. I appreciate that. You know, that's interesting. So Martha's saying she got a package from China with masks in them, and also included was a "I can't breathe" necklace from China. And so is China funding a lot of this anarchy? Who knows? We may never find out, but it's very well possible, because, look, China wants unrest. They want anarchy in America, because it gives them a window, an opportunity to advance on American exceptionalism. And so it would not surprise me. And we know China's doing all kind of things to take down America. So it would not surprise me if they're stirring up some of this anarchy. I'm going to go to Ann in Alabama. Ann, welcome to Sandy Rios in the Morning. Hey, Ann in Alabama. Welcome to Sandy Rios in the Morning.
Hi. Anyway, thank you so much. I appreciate you emphasizing to act. Would you please say, instead of fight, 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 call your governor, email your governor, write your governor, write your mayor, call your your mayor, and email your mayor. That's action, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, thanks for the call, Ann. Thanks for your opinion there. I said fight, 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 and then I said with civility. So that's what we do as Christians, is we fight. There's a spiritual battle out here, folks. This is warfare. This is not send emails. I wish we could just send emails and protect our Constitution, but it's more than that. And so when I say fight, 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 I'm talking about let's fight to preserve our liberties. And let's do it with civility. Let's do it with kindness. Let's do it with patience. But clearly Christians are the civilized folks around here. Because we're not out burning the streets, defunding the police, so on and so forth. But I think using the term fight is wholly appropriate. It's wholly appropriate because our country is hanging in the balance. The enemies are surrounding us, and they're even within. And there's this spiritual battle going on for the soul of America. And so we absolutely have to fight for it. We absolutely have to fight for it. It's worth fighting for. Just read about our founding fathers and read about the sacrifices they made to preserve, to protect, to ensure our God-given liberties. And we do it all in civility. Sandy Rios in the Morning here on American Family Radio. My name is Walker Wildman. It's been good to be with you today. Check out our website, afr.net, and stay tuned to American Family Radio.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.